Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. It's where we began last week. We're leading up to the Ten Commandments. Before we get there, we want to understand the purpose of the commandments. And Galatians 3, verse 19, there's a question: where then serveth the guilt makes them very, very uncomfortable. It makes them very angry. Makes them very anxious. But that's one of the reasons God gave the law, was to manifest our guilt. Because in dealing with us in salvation, God does cause us to feel our guilt. You will not cry out to a Savior or for a Savior until you do feel that guilt. Thirdly, the law of God is used to slay all hope of salvation by a reformed life. There are individuals, of course, who try to keep the law in order to get to heaven. You don't have to do that for very long before you come to the realization that you can't, that you cannot keep the law perfectly. So the law, when we break the law, it's a pronouncement that if we're hoping to attain salvation by keeping the law, that hope is slain by the law itself. Also, the law is used to reveal the value of a Savior. Reveals the value, reveals the need of a Savior. In Galatians 3, and let's begin reading with verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin. Now that says more than most people realize. That doesn't just say that all are sinners. That's included. But it says much more than that. It says all are under sin, under its dominion. It speaks of a slavery, under its condemnation. So it goes further than the fact that all have sinned. So the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise, so there's encouraging news. We're all under sin, but there's a promise. By faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, that is, this saving faith, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, saving faith, which would afterwards be revealed. And then here's what we want to notice, verse 24. Wherefore, the law, speaking of before we were saved, the law was our schoolmaster. And what was the purpose of this schoolmaster? To bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, justifying faith, faith that saves, we who were kept under the law, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. This shows that the law is given to reveal the value of a Savior. The schoolmaster brought us to Christ. The word schoolmaster is pedagogos and simply means a child conductor. A child conductor. This is what the law was. The law was as our schoolmaster. The schoolmaster, or the child conductor, was a slave who had the responsibility of educating boys and girls till they became of age. It's a coming of age is a picture of salvation. The words of verse 25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now, that is often used as an argument that the child of God is no longer under the authority of the law. Or to put it another way, no longer under the authority of God. May I say that there is never a time, there is never a moment that you are not under the authority and under the dominion of God. For you not to be under the dominion of God, God would have to cease to be God. But there are people who are bent on getting out from under the law completely. They don't want it anywhere in their life. And they will point to verses like this. See, we're not under a schoolmaster. But the teaching of Galatians 3:25 is that once the child has become an adult, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God. Once that child becomes an adult, salvation. Once salvation takes place, that individual now voluntarily and willingly does what he formerly did under the fear of a schoolmaster. And that's simply what that means. So the schoolmaster brought us unto Christ. And that's what the law does. The law points us to Christ. The law says, you are guilty. The law says, you cannot fulfill me completely. But there is one who has, pointing to Christ. It's the child conductor. So once again, the law is not the enemy of grace. It is part of God's method of bringing sinners to himself. The law also, once we are saved, is used to keep us from self-righteousness. Anyone who knows anything about the law of God, anyone who knows anything about the Ten Commandments, how in the world can that individual feel that they are righteous in themselves? If you know anything about the law, you know that you break it every day. So the law is used to keep us from self-righteousness, to keep us from becoming the Pharisees. The law of God is also used to serve as a standard of conduct for man. Whether it be moral law, which is the Ten Commandments, whether it be civil law, or whether it be ceremonial law, the laws of God were never intended to bring or to give salvation. Never. That was not the intent of the law. But God does use the law as a means to bring us to the place where we see, I am guilty, and I have need of a Savior. So we must keep these things in mind as we observe the Ten Commandments. We want to look at some general rules that we need to keep in mind concerning the Ten Commandments. Rule number one is the laws of God, and we're talking specifically about the Ten Commandments, but it applies to all. The laws of God do not merely refer to outward conduct. Notice in the book of Romans, chapter 7, the book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual. The law is spiritual. That is, it is of a spiritual nature. But notice there's a contrast. But I, this is the saved man speaking, but I am carnal. The law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The law being spiritual, and not just carnal or external. The law reaches the inward as well as the outward. The law concerns the will, our wills, concerns our affections, our minds, our attitudes, our spirits, the heart as well as the outward life. That brings us to the scribes and the Pharisees. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees had an external form of righteousness. Outwardly, they were moral. But inwardly, they had no regard for righteousness, no regard for purity of heart. Jesus, of course, spent much time through his ministry dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees, of course, would try to trap Christ. They had a real problem with the teachings of Jesus Christ. And Christ was constantly rebuking the scribes and the Pharisees. Notice in Matthew chapter 23. Now, we say all this because the laws of God, we must never think that just because we keep the law outwardly, that constitutes obedience. Because if we're disobedient within, we're disobedient. The law covers outward conduct, it certainly does. But it covers inward conduct as well. In Matthew 23 and verse 28, Jesus, speaking to these Pharisees, said, even so ye also outwardly appear. There's a lot of people today, and we all do this to some degree. We want to appear correctly. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to appear correctly. But to do that with disregard of what you are is hypocrisy. And there are some people, that's all they think about. I mean, that's what they live for. How does it look? How does it look? Well, even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. But within, ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Can you imagine what that did to the Pharisees? It didn't make them happy. I mean, Jesus very point blank told them, you appear outwardly righteous, but I know your heart. And he says, within, you're full. It doesn't just say there is within you some hypocrisy. He said more than that. He said, you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Appearing outwardly righteous, they became self-righteous. And this is what happens. When an individual appears outwardly righteous, there will come a time when they think themselves superior to others, because after all, I am keeping the law outwardly. Not paying any attention inwardly, but I am keeping the law outwardly. Therefore, I am better than the person who is not keeping the law outwardly. This is the thought process of the Pharisee. So they were self-righteous. They thought themselves superior to others. Notice in Luke chapter 16, Luke 16 verse 15. And we all have this in us by nature, a feeling of superiority. It's something we must guard against. In Luke 16 verse 15, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. In Luke 18 and verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And what does this lead to? They despised others, or they thought down upon others. They thought lightly upon others. Now, these Pharisees, if we go back to Matthew 23, they were desirous of preeminence. And again, it follows suit. If you think because your outward conduct is better, therefore you are better, logic tells me that since you are better, then you should get special treatment. And that's the way the Pharisees thought. This is the way many think. This is why people get so easily offended today. I deserve better treatment. And why is that? Well, because you think you're better. Matthew 23, verse 6. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. And they like the greetings in the markets. And to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. So they were desirous of preeminence. They were desirous of public salutations. They were desirous of distinguished titles. We see that in verses 7 through 10. But one of the problems that the Pharisees had, and all Pharisees have, and that is those who are only interested in keeping the law outwardly, is they become very partial in their observance of the law. That is, they pick the laws that they know they can keep outwardly. And so they become very partial. This is so obvious, you get on Facebook. I mean, some of the things people go off on is almost unreal. But I can't go there. Matthew 23, verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law." In other words, they could do that. I can pay a tithe. I can do that. And they, of course, condemned those who didn't. But in doing that, they became partial because they omitted other things of the law which were even weightier. That is, that were even more important, and such as judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So the Pharisees became partial. We have to guard against that. As you look at the Ten Commandments, they're a whole unit. You don't just pick and choose one or two and say, well, that's the ones I'm going to follow. It's a unit. You break one, you break them all. But this is what Pharisees do. This is what people do that are only interested in the external. They become very partial to certain things. And this has been going on for years and years and years and years, decades in our churches. The scribes and Pharisees, with their mere outward concern for obedience, was continually denounced by Christ. He called them hypocrites. In Matthew 23, verse 14, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, verse 23, verse 25, verse 27, verse 29. He said, "You hypocrites." The Ten Commandments are not just external. They must also be internal. He also referred to them as blind guides. Matthew 23, verse 16 and verse 24. He called them fools and blind in Matthew 23, verse 17 and verse 19. He called them whited sepulchres. He said, "You're like a tombstone." A tombstone's very nice. It's kept up. But within is corruption. Within is a rotting body. Oh, but the tombstone looks nice. He called them serpents and generation of vipers. Matthew 23, verse 33. As you read through Matthew 23, you see Jesus didn't have a whole lot of use for Pharisees. He referred to them as an evil and adulterous generation in Matthew 12, verse 39. And in Matthew 5, verse 20, he declared that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, ye shall no wise enter heaven. That is, except your righteousness exceed that which is outward. Unless your righteousness is something more than just external, you'll never enter heaven. So we must keep this in mind as we approach the Ten Commandments, that they are not merely external. They also apply to the heart. You can not commit adultery outwardly, but you can commit it in your heart. You can not be covetous outwardly, but you can be covetous inwardly. And on and on and on we can go. You cannot lie outwardly, but you can lie within. And so if we break the law of God inwardly, we have broken the law of God. And Jesus makes this very clear in the Sermon on the Mount. So again, as we approach the Ten Commandments, we must realize that these are not laws just referring to outward conduct. They certainly include outward conduct, but it's not limited to outward conduct. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the laws that you've given us to guard our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to come into your house. And we pray, Lord, that you'd speak to those that are lost, that you'd open their hearts to salvation. We pray that you'd draw each one of us closer to thee. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.